Today, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, the Old Testament reading comes from Job, chapter 38, beginning with the first verse. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness a swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. On our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. The other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message, it comes from St. Matthew, the seventh chapter. When he arrived at the other side, in the region of Gerasardians, two demon-possessed men coming from him from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." But they came out and went into the pigs. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all of this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then from the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. There's really two general themes in that text. Just to put it in perspective of chronology, this takes place right after our gospel lesson that I just read a few minutes ago about Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee. There's two themes in this gospel lesson that I read from Matthew. One of which is that we surrender our lives to Jesus, that he wants our whole life, not just a part of us. And then there's the other theme, the fear of the unknown. Jesus heals a man in the account given in mental blank. In one of the other gospels, all right, we are told that he healed one of the men, but the people feared Jesus so much that they had to drive him out of town. Let me give you a story here. Wealthy young man had an incredibly beautiful, beautiful house. Dozens of rooms. Each room was actually more beautiful than the previous room. So he decided one day to invite the Lord to stay with him for a few days. He thought, I've got a beautiful enough house. I've got room to spare. I'm going to invite the Lord to stay with me. So Jesus came for a visit. The wealthy young man took him up to one of the most beautiful rooms in the entire house, showed Jesus around the room, and said, this is where you'll be staying. Make yourself comfortable. With that, the rich young man left Jesus in the room, shut the door. Evening came, the rich young man went to bed, figuring, well, Jesus is just tired, that's why he didn't come out of the room. So the rich young man goes to bed. Middle of the night, there's a big clatter at the door. Big banging sound on the door. So he gets his robot, he goes downstairs, and he wants to know what this big banging sound is, so he opens up the door and finds three demons standing there. Yeah, three demons standing there. One of them gets his foot right in that door, so he cannot shove it shut. And for a three-hour battle, this young rich man fought these three demons, one against three, but finally he was able to shut the door. And he's thinking, Jesus is in my best room in my house, but he didn't help me. Then he says, well, maybe he just didn't hear all the noise. Next day, the rich young man went to work very tired. You know, if you were battling for 3 hours one night, you'd be pretty tired too. So he decides to go to bed early. Guess what happens in the middle of the night at the front door? Pizza delivery. No. Rich young man opens up the door. Now, why he does this is beyond me in the story. Why would you open up the door from the previous night? But he opens up the door again. And this time, there's a dozen demons out there. Now, the battle's really on. It's 12-1 odds. This is not great odds. He fights and fights to shut that door again. Finally, absolutely exhausted, he gets the door shut and gets it locked. He says, I really don't understand this at all. Why didn't the Lord come to my rescue? Why did he let me fight all night the devils by myself? He says, I feel so alone right now. Because I know what I'm going to do next morning. I'm going to ask Jesus, why didn't you come and help? So he knocks on Jesus' door. Then he opens up the door and he says to Jesus, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. For the last two nights, I've had to fight demons away from my door while you were sleeping. Don't you care about me? Didn't I give you my very best room in my house? Then he looked at Jesus and Jesus had tears welling up in his eyes. And he goes, I just don't understand. I really thought that once I had been invited into your house to live with me, Jesus didn't say that. The rich young man said, get this straight. The rich young man said, I just don't understand. I really thought that once I invited you to live with me, that you would take care of me. And I gave you one of the very best rooms in my house and everything. What more can I possibly do? Jesus said to him then, I do love and care for you. I protect everything that's put into my care. But you only gave me this room in this house. And then you shut the door. Jesus says, and no demons attacked this room at all the last two nights. So they both go back to bed. This time the rich young man leaves the front door of Jesus, or the door of Jesus' room, open. Middle of the night, guess what happens? The same thing. They're back. This time they brought the big boss. Satan shows up with a couple hundred of his demons and he's going to get into this house. So they start beating on the door. Jesus comes down the stairs, opens up the door, says, you need help? With that, Satan hits the ground. All the demons hit the ground and Satan goes, we got the wrong address. And they scurried away. There's a lesson to be learned in that story. We let Jesus have part of our life. We let him have a room in our life. But we don't let him have access to the whole thing that we call life. In the one gospel account of the sending out of the demons into the pigs, the man had faith himself. He had faith. He had faith that Jesus could heal him. The demons, Jesus cast the demons out. They run into the pigs and the pigs all drown themselves. Notice the man didn't do a thing. And then story with the house. When Satan came with a herd of demons, did the rich young man do anything in that story at that point? Nope, he just stood back and let the master take care of it. And I know our gospel lesson's a strange story. I don't think it makes the Sunday school lessons, does it? Another one going into my future book that I'm going to publish after I retire, Sunday school lessons they never taught you. And that's going to be one of them. Can you imagine the color little devils? And you can cut them out and have a little finger puppet place. Don't you guys ever think of this stuff? Obviously. Hey, you spend a week in the hospital, I'll tell you, you know, you're thinking about the decks coming up. You start thinking some really weird stuff. Maybe they built all the bottles behind me. All right. But I got thinking of little puppet plays. Boy, did the nurse look at me strange when I was playing puppets. But anyways, let's go on. When Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, he was crossing into Gentile territory. On the western shore is Israel. On the eastern shore is Gentile country. Now he's in unclean territory. And you know it's Gentile territory. Why? What were the animals? Pigs, which are forbidden for Jews to eat. And I think they even added the stipulation, they're not even allowed to touch them. So once Jesus cast the demons out, they go to the pigs and the pigs all drown themselves, which I gotta say is just a waste of a whole lot of good bacon and ham. But that's beside the point. People come out of the town to see what went on. They find this demon-possessed man now in his right mind. And the other gospel lesson that I can't remember which one of the gospels it is, it said that the man would run around naked in the tomb area and would hide in caves in the ground or hide in the caves with the dead. This is what the local villagers had gotten used to see when they would see him up in the hills, was this raving lunatic. When they come now to see him, he's clothed, he's sitting at Jesus' feet, and he's listening to what Jesus has to say. There's two very distinct reactions at this point in our story. Instead of being like the demon-possessed man, the townspeople are afraid. Afraid of the unknown. He's just done something. We don't know how it works. I recently talked to a young man. We're talking about Christianity. He says, well, I can't believe it because I can't understand it all. So I looked at him. I said, do you drive a car? He says, yeah. Do you understand everything about it? He says, no. I said, give me your car keys. It made sense to me. I don't think he got the point. The villagers didn't understand everything about Jesus. Therefore, they wanted nothing to do with them. They tell him to leave. The man who had the demon cast out from him, as I said, he's now clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. He wants to join Jesus. He wants to become one of Jesus' followers. So get this, the villagers come, reject him. The man comes, wants to go with Jesus, and Jesus says to him, no, you stay here and tell everybody what you have seen. Complete contrary events. Bible is amazing how it happens like that so often. Excuse me. Jesus tells him that he wants him to spread the gospel where he is. Now, we don't know whether he did it or not. The assumption is he did. And the reason we assume that he did and was successful at it, on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, there is a small church. And I've been told that the church commemorates the place where the man had the demons cast out. Since I've never been there, I can't verify it's actually there. But excuse me. But I'll make the assumption that it is. So do we actually know the actual place where this whole story took place? If we do, how cool is that? There's two important points I also want to stress. God's redeeming power, excuse me, for all nations. He doesn't just target one group of people and say, I only want them. So we Lutherans, we can't only consist of German Lutherans. Because some of you aren't German, and I know it. Because I've tasted your food at potlucks. Not all of it's German. All right? I mean, I'm making a joke about it, but you kind of got the point that way. We should be as diligent as that young man who had the demons cast out of him when we do share the gospel with others. And will most people reject the gospel message we share? This is where you go, yes or no. Yes, just like that whole village came out to see who Jesus was. The village as a whole rejected Jesus. This one former loony bin member, all right, once he gets his mind straight because of what God does for him, all right, then he goes out and spreads the gospel. That day, how many were, I guess we can put it this way, how many were saved that day from Jesus' actions that weren't previously believers? One. But did it matter to the one? Yes. It mattered to the one that he now had a relationship with God. Now, are all of us experts at sharing the gospel? Some of us are kind of vanilla brand. We're just there. It doesn't have to be spectacular. It can be the way we live our lives. So let us call upon God's Spirit to not only empower us for discipleship, but to give us the courage to witness to God's grace in our lives. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And we continue by confessing our faith according to the Nicene Creed.